Welcome, one and all. This is Robert Rogers, and you've just connected with Parkinson's Recovery. My guest today is Howard Schiftke, who has an incredible story to report himself about being able to fully and completely recover from having experienced virtually all of the symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
My guest today is Howard Schiftke, who has had Parkinson's disease in a who confronted Parkinson's disease some time ago, and has confronted this in a way that's quite different from most people, with quite remarkable results. Howard, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much, Robert. I really appreciate the opportunity and also appreciate the work that you do on behalf of Parkinson's sufferers. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
How long has it been since you recovered from Parkinson's disease?
Robert, last June, on June 12th, is the last time that I had any Parkinson's symptoms. The symptoms had started the previous September, the ones that were recognizable to me. And in August, a couple of months after I realized that I no longer had symptoms, it was time for my six-month follow-up visit with my neurologist. And as he exclaimed at the end of our visit, much to his surprise, after putting me through all of his tests, he was unable to detect a single Parkinson's symptom as well.
You are then symptom-free today?
Completely symptom-free, as I have been since June 12th, 2010. So about 8 months.
When is it that you realized you might have Parkinson's, and what did you do in response?
Well, in 2009, in September, I was sitting at my desk doing some work, and I started to feel like my entire body was shaking. And I looked down at my arms, which were then on the armrests of my chair, and I noticed that there was no movement at all. However, I felt this tremendous tremoring inside. So being as I was sitting at my desk at my computer, I opened up Google and typed in internal tremors, and everything that came up was related to Parkinson's disease. And I started first thinking, well, this can't be right. My mother had Parkinson's disease, and she passed away in February of 2007, and so, you know, Parkinson's was a little bit in the back of my mind, but it certainly was not in the foreground at the time. And so I kind of went from article to article reviewing specifically what people who wrote the articles were saying the symptoms of Parkinson's disease were. And of course, as I reached an article and I'd read four symptoms, all of which I would then reflect a bit and realize I had, I'd say, well, this article must be incorrect.
Right.
You know the story.
Denial runs deep.
It does. And so article after article after article of what I felt were probably incorrect people, I reached one that not only had listed the main symptoms, but also listed what they considered to be smaller or lesser known potential symptoms. And it was a list of about 15 items, and I had to be honest with myself as I went down that list, I realized at some level I had everything that was on it, and that was my greatest realization at that moment. So at that point in time, I decided to wait a day to see if everything I was experiencing at that moment would go away, and it did not.
Oh, shoot.
Exactly. So the following day, I knew I had to sit down with my wife and talk about it with her.
People will be interested, I know, to learn about what you have done with regard to careers in your life.
Well, I had practiced law from 1986 till 1999, and then from 1999 till present, I've been involved in sales and marketing of technology products, software and hardware, and primarily software in the healthcare field.
You had a decision then to make in consultation with your wife. The symptoms weren't getting better. It was pretty clear it was Parkinson's disease. You decided to take a holistic approach to addressing this disease. How come?
Well, this is kind of the longer part of the beginning of the story. There's a few reasons. One of the reasons was having watched my mother over the course of 24 years with Parkinson's disease. She went through what was the way of being diagnosed with Parkinson's at the time, and that began with some misdiagnosis and medications for the things that might have been Parkinson's but were not, and ultimately when she did not get better or feel better in any way, she then was put on the Parkinson's medications, which compared to how she had been feeling for those previous years of treatment made her feel better. So she received the Parkinson's diagnosis and was on the medications for a very long time, 20 plus years on the Parkinson's medications. And over, you know, a couple of decades, ultimately the medications and the disease took their toll on her, and it was not a very pretty ending. It was rather sad because she also ended up suffering from a level of Alzheimer's and dementia. And, you know, as you know, that is a very hard way to see somebody prior to their death with Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia. So I had that fairly fresh in my mind, and for years I had just taken a liking to and studied through books and articles traditional Chinese medicine and alternative healing and holistic healing. And there were many things that we had done around here as a family over the years that gave me a very strong belief and feeling that alternative or holistic approaches to fighting maladies could end in great success. And of course, as you know, Parkinson's is designated as an incurable disease. And the medications, although they may help with pain or they may help with mobility, they do not lead toward recovery and they do not lead toward a cure. And, you know, this is not just me talking about that, but I think that that's, you know, fairly common knowledge that there's a greater level of comfort that one may have in taking the medications, but ultimately there is not an expectation in taking the medications or an expectation when the medications are prescribed that the individual is going to improve, recover, or be cured. And so since there was nearly 200 years of information since James Parkinson's discovered the disease, it seemed to me that I needed to put my faith in the holistic approach, at least from the viewpoint for me, that let me get started going down that path, because the other path in the background may be an alternative, but having seen the potential of how it could end with my mother, I felt a very strong need to go in a different direction and to go on a different path. I had the full support of my wife with that decision, and in a large way, I felt I owed it to my wife and our three children to try to fight the disease rather than accept the disease and where I might go if I was taking the medications. And when I say in fighting the disease, I had read an article early on that said that the author of the article said that when people receive a diagnosis of cancer, that he had seen that they take a hard line, I'm going to fight this approach, and that when people receive a diagnosis of Parkinson's, it is an acceptance of an inevitable end. And I was not in denial that I had Parkinson's, but I was definitely denying that there wasn't a different way on how to approach it.
You clearly had extensive familiarity with holistic approaches prior to confronting this challenge. Specifically, had you actually experienced various holistic approaches yourself, or have your family members actually used holistic approaches in addressing various illnesses that might have emerged over the years before all of this emerged?
Yes. And that was part of what gave me confidence that at least I could give it a good fight. And we, from doing Qigong exercises to Jinshin Jitsu energy work, acupressure, there are certain things that we had learned. My children, if somebody caught a cold or had a runny nose or something of that nature, there's certain acupressure that we would do that would open up the sinuses and drain the cold, and within a couple of days, without, you know, having to be on any medications, you know, we would, you know, get rid of a basic cold. I mean, we're not talking about things the level of a major disease like Parkinson's or any other major disease, but sure, things like a cold, or if somebody had had a pain, then there was certain acupressure or a certain Qigong exercise or a certain way of doing energy work where we would handle the pain. And I think part of what we learned along the way in doing it is a little bit of a different mindset. And when I say a little bit of a different mindset, when one of us would have a cold or have a pain or have a health issue, we would sit down and look at it not from the what is the symptom, but from what may have caused the symptom. And in the books I have on traditional Chinese medicine, it's very helpful in going through, because in treating the individual as a total organism as opposed to just treating where a certain pain might be, I feel we were very successful. Like I said, nothing was, you know, really major, but over the years we're very successful in, you know, treating small health issues around the house by getting to the heart of the matter of what may have caused it and then dealing with the cause rather than just dealing with getting rid of the pain.
We'll be right back with Howard Schiffke after this short break.
I'm Robert Rogers, and my guest today is Howard Schiffke. I had planned in December of last year, that's just 4 months ago, to take about a week, perhaps 10 days, to write the revision to my book, Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease, that was formally released in 2010, April. It actually wound up taking me 3 months to write up and explain all of the exciting discoveries that have occurred just over the past year. The good news is that I'm finally done, and the 2011 revision, the second edition to Road to Recovery, is now available. You can find more information about Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease by visiting www.parkinsonsdisease.me. That's the webpage that contains the table of contents and a description of what you will find if you decide to be able to purchase the Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease. It really captures all of the discoveries that have unfolded as a result of my research over the past 5 years with regard to therapies that are natural, safe, and non-intrusive that are making a huge and a profound difference to individuals like Howard Schiffke in being able to get sustained relief from the symptoms of Parkinson's. Again, that website is www.theWordParkinsonsDisease.me, or of course you can always go on Amazon and purchase the book there. Now back to Howard Schiffke.
Howard, when did you see a neurologist and receive a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease?
I scheduled an appointment and saw a neurologist, my neurologist, November 5th of 2009, which was about 5 weeks after I started getting the tremors and realized that I probably did have Parkinson's disease. And when I went to the neurologist, he put me through all of his tests, and he did confirm. I mean, obviously, there's always that hope. I mean, I pretty much knew I had it, but there's always that hope that you go and the neurologist says, no, you don't have it. But I kind of knew what the diagnosis would be, and I received the diagnosis November 5th, 2009, that I did in fact have Parkinson's.
Some people listening to this might be in a situation where they've got some symptoms or thinking about going to see a neurologist. Can you give a brief preview of what that visit was like? What kind of test did the neurologist do for you to do the diagnosis?
Okay. First we sat down and had a lengthy discussion of why I was there. And in the discussion, there had been times earlier in the year where I had experienced some health issues that were significant enough to me that I notated them just for paying attention purposes. And so I was able to give at least accurate information and general dates and time relative to things that were happening. I was able to explain to him in our conversation that in February of 2009, I was at the gas station, and when I went to pump the gas, I could not squeeze the pump, and I realized that I had a really bad pain on the outer part of the muscle near my elbow, and then I realized shortly after that I was unable to lift the water pitcher with my left arm because of the same pain and the inability to actually grasp the handle. And, you know, as denial will go, you know, back back in November 2009, I thought, well, I probably just hurt my arm. Let me not use it. So I just started using my right hand for everything. So I at least was able to tell him that along the way, you know, the pain never subsided. I did have a sense of slowness. I recalled over a course of months that I would be walking along or going up the stairs in the house and think, you know, if this is how I feel at 48 years of age, I cannot imagine how I'm going to feel 20 years from now, because I'm feeling kind of slow, old, painful. Those little type of recognitions that I had. And then he, and I'm trying to go back in my mind and remember all of the tests, but I can tell you a substantial part of the tests that he gave me were movement tests. I did walking, balance. He did tests with my eye movements. He also did tests where I would tap. He had me tap on my left, you know, sitting on the table, had me tap on my right thigh with my right hand while holding my left arm straight out in front. And after tapping for a while, at first my left arm froze, and then it got a mind all of its own and started, for lack of a better word, flailing all over the place. And then he switched that up, and I remember that I was tapping my left thigh with my left palm and had my right arm out, and experienced the same thing, but really to a fraction of a degree of what had gone on the other side. It got very tight and moved around quite a bit, couldn't hold it steady at all and couldn't stop it from moving, but not near as the flailing that my left arm had done. And those are off of the top of my head, those are the main tests that I remember. There was a lot of physical tests, balance tests, walking tests, and then left side, right side movement, comparing what the reaction was on the other side of my body type of test.
What did you learn from the tests leading up to the diagnosis that gave you more insight into the disease, and what did you do as a result?
Thank you for asking that. This actually for me was one of the greatest learning experiences that I think helped in a huge way in my recovery. And that is, I learned in a huge way that the left side of my body and the right side of my body were not talking to each other. They weren't working well, the wires were crossed, and if I was going to continue to try to recover, then I needed to figure out a way to isolate the right side of my body and isolate the left side of my body so that I would be able to function better. And when I say isolate them, I think we know that the way it's been expressed is that the left side of the brain operates the right side of the body and the right side of the brain operates the left side of the body. And they say that with Parkinson's, by the time you start to have the really big symptoms, the kind of stuff that makes you go to a neurologist, that upwards of 60 to 80% of the basal ganglia in the brain that are controlling your movement are dead. And so it made me realize that theoretically, if I was working with only 20 to 40% of the neural impulses controlling my movement, that I needed to streamline the electricity in a better way. And I I felt that I needed to learn exactly what was going on inside my body so that I would have a better opportunity to try to fix it. And if it's okay, I'd like to explain that a little bit.
Please.
I started to, in the morning, what I would do is I decided I needed to see where the neural impulses went, because obviously from the tests that the doctor gave me, movement on one side of the body set off uncontrollable reactions on the other side of the body. So I started a process in the morning where I would stand in the kitchen, hold on to the counter with one hand, and while I was doing this, I had to hold on to the counter. I had a terrible, terrible balance. My balance was, the best way I can explain is my balance was somewhere behind my heels. So I really needed to hunch forward in order to stay upright. And what I would do is stand there, hold the counter with my left hand, and I would take my right arm, have it hang down by my side, and then I would lift it straight out to the side slowly. And I would do that four times, and then I would close my eyes and see what I felt. And when I first started doing this, I would notice that I had very strong impulses, electrical impulses, sometimes in my left knee or my left shoulder, even though it had been my right arm that I was moving. And so I went online and I found, you know, that outline of a body, and I printed it up and made a bunch of copies. And so I started working on trying to isolate where the neural impulses were in my body in response to moving each limb one at a time. So I do the right arm, then the left arm, and then I would do one leg and then the other. And with the legs, I would just bring it up as much as I could in what I would say like a marching position. You just bring it up and put it down four times and then see where I felt the impulses. And through that process, I started to learn a little bit more about what was going on electrically inside my body. And I started to do things one-sided, so that I had to really kind of focus. And best example I could give is I generally drove the car left-handed and right foot on the pedals. And it occurred to me that if I had, after extended driving, some type of a freezing or non-controlling movement in my left arm as a result of moving my right foot, or in my right foot as a result of moving my left arm, that could result in a terrible thing driving the car. So what I actually did was I started, when I would get in the car, I started putting my left hand under my left thigh so that I took it completely out of the equation, and I learned how to drive just with my right hand so that all of my movement was on that one side of my body. And I also, and this is where I say I was fortunate that I had years of experience of reading and doing a number of holistic things, because I remembered that I had read about a brain vibration chant. There is a doctor, his name is Dr. Shaw, and he is a Chinese medical doctor and also a Western medical doctor. And Dr. Shaw has an approach called soul-mind-body medicine. And part of it involves chanting. And the chanting is actually vibrating different parts of your body. And I had remembered, and I went and found it in one of my books, a brain vibration chant. So What I did was I started doing the brain vibration chant to stimulate activity in my brain, and then I focused and visualized streamlining the electrical impulses in my body, because my goal was to retrain my brain so that the right side of my brain would move the right side of my body, and the left side of my brain would move the left side of my body. I figured that if I could achieve that, then I would have a much more streamlined approach to my movement, and I would take out of the equation the issue of freezing or uncontrolled movement, because there would be no crossover. And so I worked on that a lot, and that's why I appreciate the question, because it was something that I really did not realize until being put through the test, what a violent reaction my body had when trying to move left side and right side at the same time.
The brain chant sounds quite fascinating to me. Did you really pick this up on a website, Dr. Shaw's website, or did you get an actual mentoring session for this?
No, he is very good. Besides sharing a lot of information and videos on his website, he's written a number of books, and the first book that I had ever gotten by Dr. Shaw was called Power Healing. And it's in that book that he first discusses it, and then in Soul Mind Body Medicine, he talks about the brain vibration chanting as well. And in a nutshell, the way the chanting is set up, Dr. Shaw's teacher and mentor, Dr. Guo, who is a Chinese medical doctor in China, he learned through meditation and trial and error that in Mandarin Chinese, that numbers in Mandarin Chinese could create, by saying them, could create certain vibrations. And then through practice, he was able to learn that certain combinations of the numbers put in certain combinations could lead to vibrations of the organs or vibrations of your limbs, so that it could lead to healing. The idea of the healing being that the cause of what is wrong with the individual either has to do with too much energy or too little energy, and that by putting the chanting into the equation, you're creating a vibration that either increases the energy or helps dissipate the energy, depending upon what malady you have.
I'd be really curious then about the chant. Would I be saying something like 425, 9, 22, 13, 12 in a kind of a chanting way? Or exactly how does it work?
Okay. Well, I will tell it to you. He provided, Dr. Shaw provided in the book, actually, the English phonetic sounds for the brain vibration chant. And so it goes Ling Yao Chi 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 Jo Ling Ba Ling Yao Chi 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 Jo R Si Si. And that is a combination of numbers that when you do the chant, I would sit forward in a chair, sit as straight up as I could, and when I first started doing it, I actually typed it up and put it on the computer screen so I could be staring at it. But once I learned it, the idea is that if you can chant that for, say 5 minutes and chant it as fast as possible, it will create a vibration that will stimulate the neural impulses in your brain.
And so how often did you chant this every day for 5 minutes?
I did 5 minutes in the morning and the afternoon and the evening. And what I did was, when I would feel the neural impulses, then what I did when I would conclude, because I felt a lot of activity going on, particularly in the back part of my head, what I would do is try to visualize what was going on in my head, try to visualize the energy on the right side of my brain just going down the right side of my body, and the energy on the left side of my brain going down the left side of my body. So I was trying to use the brain activity that I was creating through the chanting to visualize and retrain my brain to streamline where the impulses were going.
Why did you feel that your body could heal itself?
Well, a big part of that comes from the experience of the previous years where we had worked on other things around the house, like I explained earlier. But also, if you really just break it down to the nuts and bolts, I think everybody has experienced at some level, even if not really aware of thinking of it in terms of the body healing itself, at some point in their life. I mean, simple example is if you know, you're 10 years old, you fall out of the tree and you break your arm, and your mom takes you to the doctor, and the doctor says, "Hey, Robert, no big deal. I'm going to set your arm. I'm going to put it in a cast. And after X amount of time, you're going to come back here, and it's going to be good as new, or it might even be better, because sometimes when there's a break and healing, you know, it'll be stronger than it was before." Well, if you think about the process, really the doctor sets the arm and puts it in a cast, but essentially the body is what heals the arm. Yes, it does take the doctor's expertise in knowing how to properly set the arm and do all of that. He's a very critical part of the formula. But ultimately, what goes on inside the arm, inside the cast, is your body healing itself. So I am just a strong believer that if you listen to your body and try to make sense of what it is telling you, then you can put things into place that will help your body heal itself.
We'll be right back with Howard Schittke after this short station break.
I'm Robert Rogers from Parkinson's Recovery. My guest today is Howard Schittke. I just released my new book, my second edition of Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease, 50 additional pages, now 330 pages. The book contains everything that I've learned from all of the interviews, all the radio programs, all the phone calls, all of the reviews of literature about what causes the symptoms of Parkinson's, and also the therapies that individuals report to me are making a profound difference in their ability to get sustained relief from their symptoms. So check it out. You can get information about Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease by visiting www.parkinsonsdisease.me, or you can, of course, always visit Amazon and purchase the second edition from there. And now back to my incredible and fascinating interview with Howard Schittke.
Howard, you've mentioned that the limitations of your movement started to make sense, and then you started to listen to your body and take a less is more approach to fighting the disease. Can you talk about this some and explain what you mean?
Certainly. I can tell you that within a few days of the tremors starting, I had three major limitations that came upon me. One was I realized that I could not get out of a chair without holding on to the arms of the chair and using my upper body to literally lift me out of a chair. The second thing was that no matter how hard I tried, I could not convince either of my feet to step on the first step of our stairs unless I first grabbed onto the railing. I walked up to the stairs one day, and that was it. My body stopped right there. And the third thing was I realized in the middle of eating one day that I lifted the food with my utensil, and that's where it stopped. And I couldn't figure out how to get the utensil with the food to my mouth, and concentrating on it and trying to move it to my mouth was almost like a cogwheel, click, 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 about eight clicks at the elbow to get it to my mouth, and that was very, very difficult. And those were major limitations, and I then also, you know, realized my arms didn't swing. The rigidity that I had in my back was probably the most painful part of the disease. It made me hunch forward, pulled my shoulders in, and really just hurt all the time. The thing about it is that by not taking any medications or any supplements or anything to deal with the pain, it allowed me the opportunity to pay attention to where I had the pain, try to figure out why I had the pain, and to see what sense it made to me. And actually, it started to make pretty good sense, and that is my balance, as I mentioned earlier, was really terrible. So I tend to think that if my body didn't limit me from walking up the stairs, I might get two or three steps and then head backwards, head first, to the tile floor, which would have been a complete disaster. Same thing with getting out of a chair. If I stood up too quickly and tried to walk, I think that would have had some bad results. And I really don't have anything to offer great about the food, except maybe I was eating too much. I had the darndest time getting the food to my mouth, so I really had a hard time making sense of that one. But I also understood that that by hunching forward, I can tell you I never fell in the 9 months that I was actively fighting this disease. I never fell. I never had a hard freezing moment in the middle of walking. And part of it, which made sense particularly after my doctor visit, is that my arms had stopped swinging, and that was something that I didn't know how long prior to realizing I had the disease they had stopped swinging, or that I was hunched over, or that I was shuffling my feet, but it had been some time. And by looking at those limitations, I feel that in a way it was like my body protecting itself, because I was protected from falling, I was protected from freezing. If I tried to, I would imagine if I had tried to forcibly swing my arms at some point in time, one of my legs would have frozen or gone out of control, and maybe I would have fallen, no different than the tests that my neurologist was running. So I worked at much more attention to those things. Now, one of the things that anybody who has Parkinson's can tell you is that it really wears you out physically. And in a way, it's a little bit difficult to explain the issue of rigidity. And the best way that I've tried to explain it is imagine, you know, flexing your muscles and then trying to do regular movements with your muscles flexed all day. It's going to wear you out, and it's going to hurt after a while. And so in order to try to move a little bit better and have a little bit more energy at the end of the day, my less is more approach to fighting the disease was basically I didn't push my physical limits to what Parkinson's would allow me to do. I actually stopped prior to that. I walked a little bit slower than Parkinson's would allow me. When I would go up the stairs, I realized that going up the stairs in the conventional manner where you go every other step, you know, with your feet walking up, that I was having to use a large amount of upper body energy and strength because I was primarily pulling myself up, because every time I picked up a foot to go to the next step, my body wanted to go backwards. So it was that kind of a physical battle to go up the stairs. And so I took a different approach. I decided that when I got to the stairs, that instead of going every other step, I would hold onto the railing, put my foot on the first step, and then I would just bring the other foot up to the same step. So it was a slower process, but actually over time it was much easier and barely took any energy at all, because if the railing was on my left side and I held on to the railing with my left hand, once I would put my one foot on the step, just by straightening out that knee, the other foot would come up to the step next to it. So movement was slower, but I could stand a little straighter when I walked, and I could go up and down the stairs, albeit it took me longer. I could do it without a lot of physical exertion. So I started to really try to pay attention to what I would say my body was telling me. And when I say paying attention, I try to take the attitude when something would happen. Most of the time, something that would happen that I didn't like because it was another physical thing I couldn't do anymore, then I would stop and think about it and say, well, let's try to make some sense of it. And more times than not, I was able to at least justify or make some sense of the limitation, and then try to approach my physical movement from a slower direction or slower way of moving than I had before, in order to, as I would say, best respond to my body telling me, don't do these things.
You had decided to take a holistic approach, clearly. After consultation with a neurologist, did you make a decision to take any medicines, or were you also taking supplements?
I did not. For a couple of reasons, and one of them is that once I came to the conclusion that I really needed to listen to my body if I was going to have any chance of recovering from this disease, then I decided I didn't want to take anything that would mask a symptom. Something that might give me better movement than maybe I was supposed to have with the disease, or something that might create a situation where I didn't feel pain in a particular area, so didn't realize that maybe I had a different issue that I needed to work on. So it really was more from a perspective that I was doing Qigong exercises, medical Qigong. I was focused on the liver. In the very first book that I got after getting Parkinson's is entitled What Your Doctor May Not Tell You About Parkinson's Disease by Dr. Jill Marjama Lyons. And she discussed that from in the book, from the, and it's a really good book because it covers in depth all of the medications that were in place at the time she wrote the book. Plus, it also talks about traditional Chinese medicine perspective, Ayurvedic perspective, a number of things. Very, very, very good book. And I would recommend that one to anybody who is new to Parkinson's. I think it covers the gamut from all directions. But one of the things from traditional Chinese medicine perspective was that there are three main causes of Parkinson's, and one of them discussed liver wind deficiency. And so essentially a problem with the liver, and wind means you shake. And so any type of medications, any type of supplements, are things that my body would have had to process through my liver. And I was very much focused on strengthening my liver, cleansing my liver, eating foods that were good for my kidney and liver, and really working very hard to cleanse my liver, because I sincerely believed in the traditional Chinese medicine view of Parkinson's. And so ingesting a medication or a supplement would have been contrary to that philosophy from my point of view, and would have been a little bit counterproductive, because it would have made my liver have to work harder in order to process and cleanse my body from medications or supplements. And also, I feel from my experience that Parkinson's is an electrical problem with the body. It is not a chemical problem with the body. So I feel very strongly that to recover from Parkinson's, you need to deal with it from a neural electrical impulse perspective, not from a taking chemicals that are going to change other chemical balances or imbalances in the body.
Can you say more about that? Why do you feel Parkinson's is an electrical problem rather than a chemical problem?
Well, I think first, it even from the way it is viewed clinically, you're not getting the electrical impulses that you're supposed to be getting, and so movement is impeded. And also, from my experience in actually experiencing the disease without medications and without supplements, I would periodically feel pain in an area where I hadn't felt pain. Or I would periodically have no pain in an area where I felt pain practically all the time. And so I felt that it was an issue, not that the dopamine was dead, or even depleted, but that the dopamine was shut off in some way where it was not able to get all of the electrical impulses to go to where they normally needed to go. So basically, kind of the idea. I'm in Florida, so I'll use my hurricane example. You know, after a hurricane comes through and wipes out the electricity for a while, people put in power generators. And typically the power generator will run your refrigerator and freezer. It'll run your air conditioning. It'll run the washer and dryer. It'll run the lights. But it isn't going to run them all at the same time like the electrical company runs when you have full electricity. And I kind of viewed the Parkinson's body as running on the power generator, and that it isn't that the full ability of the electricity to be there is not there. It's just that somehow it's been cut off. So after they work on the power lines and they get everything fixed and they flip the proper switches, then, you know, you can run the lights and the air conditioner and the washer and dryer and refrigerator and freezer all at the same time. So I really feel that Parkinson's kind of follows that scenario, that the body has reached a level where the body is working more like on a power generator than on full electricity. And the fact that periodically I would feel impulses in places I hadn't felt them for a while made me feel like the nerves weren't dead in those areas, and the impulses getting to those areas weren't dead. They just weren't consistent.
Is holistic healing a quick way to recovery?
Sorry, I'm sorry for chuckling. It is a long and difficult way toward recovery, but I will tell you one well worth the fight. And I think recovering from any major disease is not going to be quick, but certainly holistic healing is slow, because it starts rather deep within, and there's a lot of healing that has to take place till you finally get to the surface and really start to see some physical manifestation of recovery.
There are many people, I'm sure, Howard, that are thinking at this point, I want to do exactly what Howard did. Can you give us an outline of what steps need to be taken to begin holistic healing of Parkinson's symptoms?
Well, I can, and I will tell you in March of last year, when I was about 6 months into having Parkinson's, I started a blog, and I have a lot of information out there, including step by step. At the beginning of this year, I did a step-by-step everything that I did, including providing all of the resources so people, if they wanted to get books or read articles or look these things up, and I have, I think, 4 or 5 videos of doing some of the Qigong exercises. But I will tell you, a big part of it, and actually I think it's the biggest part of it, is having the true belief that you will recover. And this is a disease that fights you every minute of every day. And so first thing is starting with the attitude that says, I will recover, and believing it. I tell people, believe it. In order to recover, you have to say, they are incorrect, this is not incurable, and I will get better. And that's the first step. As I mentioned, Dr. Shaw earlier, he has a saying he would say, and I think it's very important. I have the power to heal myself. You have the power to heal yourself. Together, we have the power to heal the world. And it just takes each person really sincerely believing in your ability to recover from this disease. That's, to me, the big step one. What I did myself is I began, as I said, I put a lot of focus on the liver and the kidneys, and so I did a Qigong exercise, medical Qigong for the liver. I did exercise every day, medical Qigong for the kidneys. A few months after I had started that, I came upon in one of my old books I hadn't read for a while, I was flipping through, and I actually found a Qigong for clearing liver wind. So I thought that that one was incredible because that was really the point of what I was trying to work on. Also, as you know, standing for any length of time and balance are terrible, and so there was a standing exercise that I had done for years that I couldn't do anymore because I would fall over backwards. So I actually started standing against the wall so that I could, and really with this exercise, all you do is you stand, you bend your knees a little bit, you put your arms up in a way almost like you're holding a beach ball in front of you, and you just stand there for 5 minutes. And if you can work your way up to 5 minutes, and what it does is it's incredible, but you can feel your body strengthening from the inside just by standing. As we spoke about earlier, I did the awareness of the neural impulses when I was moving one limb at a time and seeing where they were going. I did the brain vibration chanting. One thing that was, for me, the saving grace, and that was... you know, during the day when moving, I didn't feel the tremors much, sometimes not at all. But when sitting still, and certainly when getting into bed at night, when I was just lying there, the tremors were terrible. And in our acupressure book, there is an acupressure actually for the nervous system and for Parkinson's, and it is acupressure of the governing vessel, and they talk about points 2 through 20, and basically, in brief, it's basically the areas from its, you know, roughly 20 points, acupressure points, starting at the coccyx and going up your back to ending at the top of your head. And my wife would do for me the governing vessel acupressure every night, and as she would do it, I could feel, and this is one thing also that helped me really feel that we were dealing with an electrical problem, not a chemical problem, and that is when she would start to do the acupressure at my coccyx and my lower back, I would feel huge electricity shooting down my legs to my feet, and as she moved up my back, I could feel electricity moving down to my sides, and by the time she finished, I didn't feel tremors. They went away, and they went away long enough that I could fall asleep, and I slept through the night, and I know there are people that say that they have a horrific time with Parkinson's and sleeping. And I can tell you, I do not recall one bad night of sleep. Generally, from just dealing with the disease all day, I was pretty exhausted at bedtime anyhow. But laying there and then experiencing the tremors for the worst of the day, because you're just laying there on the bed, that governing vessel acupressure took away the tremors so I could go to sleep. And that I think that was huge in my recovery. There's also a modality called Jinshin Jitsu, and it helps balance the energy flows in the body. I did the brain vibration chanting, which I talked about with you. I have a book I got on Zen, and it's called Not Always So. And so every day I would just read one passage, and then there's a thing they call sitting zazen, and it's basically a meditative sitting. And I've never been able to sit in a lotus position, but at least I could sit with my legs crossed. Well, I couldn't do that for any length of time, so I actually did it sitting in a chair, and I would sit for 10 minutes and just really you're just kind of sitting. You have your eyes closed about 75%, and you count your breath 1 to 10 and start over again. And it's incredible how relaxing that is, but all you're doing is counting your breath. So instead of trying to clear my mind, actually my mind cleared itself because all I was doing was focusing on the breathing. I did, along the way, adopt a vegetarian diet. And I can tell you that one of the things that they say Parkinson's causes is constipation. And I had that in a really bad way. And by changing to a vegetarian diet, I was able to get rid of that problem. And from some of the research I had done on things, I realized that probably what my biggest issue was is last year during holiday time, I had a lot of animal protein. And when January came around, I paid a very bad penalty for that. And so in January of 2010, I changed to a completely vegetarian diet and have stayed that way. And haven't had that problem at all. What I also did, which is really important, and that is along the way, I also found a website. It's a group in California, in Santa Cruz, PD Recovery. It's pdrecovery.org. And there... they did a study and worked with Parkinson's patients for about a dozen years, and there's a lot of valuable information. And the things that I came away with were two main things. One main thing was that there is a modality called Yin Tui Na, which they also call forceless spontaneous release, and it is done with a specialized way of holding a person's foot to help turn around a backward energy flow in the stomach meridian. And the people out there, Dr. Janice Walton Hadlock, she is a wonderful person, and like I said, spent years and years working with Parkinson's patients, and she discovered along the way that there was a consistency with an old foot or ankle injury, and it was causing the flow of the stomach meridian to go in the incorrect direction, and that by opening up that flow, that went a long way toward the healing process for Parkinson's. But the other side of the formula, the other half of that formula, is also the mind part and the soul or heart part of the equation. And so I did a lot of meditations and affirmations and prayers. I worked on getting negative thoughts out of my head. I worked on meditating on positive things. I worked on gratitude meditations. And I feel that those were also just as important as all of the physical things that I was doing. I did the physical things because I felt the great need to cleanse toxins from my body, rebuild the strength of my organs, and have my body ready to heal. And that the meditations and affirmations and prayers really went a long way toward opening up my heart and opening up my mind so that I could recover.
We'll be right back with Howard Schiffke after this short station break.
The second edition of Road to Recovery has just been released. You can find more information by visiting www.parkinsonsdisease.me or by calling toll-free 877-526-4646. And now back to Howard Schiffke.
Howard, did you see any immediate results when you started this incredible program of healing for yourself?
I did not, Robert, and that I think is the hardest part. It's the getting started with the feeling that someday I will get better and maybe I won't see any great results right away, but I need to stick with this. And so that, kind of like when you asked earlier if holistic healing was a quick way to recovery, it is not, but also it's not really a quick way to feeling great right away. I would say that there were times along the way when I thought, okay, I don't think I'm any worse today than I was yesterday. There was a rare occasion here or there where I thought, you know, I feel a little better today than I did yesterday. When I went for my three-month follow-up visit in February of 2010, excuse me, my neurologist said he actually was able to detect that my balance seemed better, that my rigidity was probably around the same, maybe a tiny bit better. So there were some things that even he could see, but they were very small. Let me put it that way.
How is it then that you stuck with the idea and the approach of holistic healing, even though you didn't see any measurable results right away?
Well, that's the part that takes a lot of faith. A lot of faith and family and friends, emotional support, and really just that feeling that says, I need to do this. Now, I can tell you because I through my blog, I communicate with a lot of people, and others have pointed out to me that one of the things that they think probably helped, and I believe they are correct, is that I had about a decade's worth of history of things around the house that I explained earlier that really made me know and believe that holistic healing will work. And so even though I didn't see measurable results right away, I really had a good sense that I would be recovering one day, and that's a big part of it. I think that conceptually, I think some people feel that they got the disease when they were diagnosed, and obviously that would be very rare, I guess I would say. Maybe not obvious, but I think that would be very rare. I think that if most people really think about it, kind of like I did back then, is that you can say, wow, I've had some things wrong with me for probably quite some time. And then, you know, you realize, oh, I have a bigger problem now. And those little things along the way, I really wasn't paying too much attention to. And you know, kind of the way with holistic healing is you didn't get Parkinson's the day you were diagnosed, and you're not going to get rid of it, the day after the diagnosis. I kind of look at it like, I would imagine that the captain of the Titanic only saw the tip of the iceberg, if even that, but there was, history says, an ice mountain that had been growing for a long time under the surface. And I kind of think Parkinson's is that way, that when it finally breaks the surface, that there are a mountain of layers below that need to be dealt with in order to recover, and that holistic healing starts from very deep within. And so as I was healing my organs, it didn't give me any great feeling on the surface. As a matter of fact, in December of 2009, I actually had lost tactile feeling on the outside of my skin. I couldn't tell the difference between water or boiling water. I would cut myself or get a mosquito bite. I didn't feel it. My body had stopped sweating. So I had to think those things through and realize that, and this is the thing that most people, a difficult concept, and that is that in holistic healing, more times than not, pain is going to be representative that you're making progress. And it's completely kind of turning the general theory of pain on its head, because most of the time when we feel pain, it is something we try to avoid or something that we go get remedied so we don't have to feel the pain. But when in holistic healing, when you're cleansing toxins, they do not leave without a fight. And so I think one of the things also about the holistic healing is it's something that you have to really be strong-willed about, because there's pain that is going to be felt, but then ultimately that pain is going to go away, and I like to refer to it as good pain. I mean, if you think about it, one of the things that I did is called standing. Well, to me, if all you're doing is standing, and after a couple of minutes of standing, the energy is moving in your body and you start to feel pain, I view that as good pain, because there's very little you can do to hurt yourself from a pain perspective by just standing. And so it kind of takes a bit of a different mindset to really stick with it. And also, one of the things that helped in sticking with it is I really did not put a lot of worry or concern into when I was going to get better. Matter of fact, I was quite surprised that I had recovered in 9 months. I did not have that expectation of that type of result. So it wasn't like I was running in a race. It was more like I was just plodding along. As I tell people sometimes, this is a race won by the tortoise, just kind of slow and steady, you know, as opposed to the hare. And it does take a certain amount of resolve in order to not be frightened when the disease fights back, because it does fight back. And I think most of the time, if we start a new exercise or start doing something differently and we get some pain with it, then the natural thing that we do is stop. And I feel that means the disease wins, because it gets in your head and it wants you to stop. I can tell you, I had an argument with myself almost every morning to have to convince myself to do the exercises and do the meditations. And let me face it, I was the one who was taking responsibility for getting better. So if I didn't do the exercises and I didn't do the meditations, it wasn't going to have a good ending. There'd be no possibility of a good ending. But I still, it's one of the things about the disease I feel very strongly about, is that it just fights you back. And I did have a discussion and sometimes an argument with myself. No, you don't really need to do them. You know, you can skip a day. And so there's that constant feeling that you have to just keep pushing ahead and pushing ahead and pushing ahead. And at a certain level, it's achieving a balance, and I'm trying to think of the best way how to express it. I think that Dr. Shaw expresses it very well with soul, mind, body medicine. Theory being, first you heal the soul, and then the mind and the body will follow. And what I realized as I was progressing along is that I did need to work on the meditations, and I did need to work on keeping strong faith in those things. And I kind of looked at Parkinson's that way, because if you think about Parkinson's and you think about the soul, mind, and body aspect of it, it's kind of Parkinson's, you know, physically, it knocks you off balance. I mean, you move slowly, you have to be more cautious, you're looking down, you're not looking forward, and it puts your body in a posture that makes it nearly impossible to walk balanced, with a bent neck and a bent spine and your head looking down. You don't have a good visual frame of reference. So physically, you're really out of balance. And what that leads to is mentally, you get knocked off balance because of fear. Afraid of falling, afraid of freezing, afraid of what people think when they see you, afraid of where the future of Parkinson's may take you, a wheelchair or, a walker. And so, to me, that's the thing about Parkinson's really getting you off balance, because physically you get knocked off balance, that leads to mentally getting knocked off balance, and then that ultimately leads to spiritually getting knocked off balance, because facing all of these things, one tends to give up hope that you can get better. Particularly when you're diagnosed with a disease where they tell you cannot get better. And so it takes a different mind and a different spirit and a different fight, because once Parkinson's knocks you off balance on those three things, I think Parkinson's is winning. And so I, along the way, learned that actually it needed to be flipped around the other way. And when I say flipped around the other way, as Dr. Shaw would say, first heal your soul and your mind and body will follow. It takes a very strong belief and a very strong faith that you have the power to heal yourself. And you have to know that, and not just think it, but you have to know it in your heart of hearts and your soul of souls that one day you will get better. And I really did. I really felt that way. I was adamant about it, that I knew I would get better. I really accepted that as fact. I did not know when. I knew I needed to get my body ready. I knew I needed to have a good attitude and get my mind ready. But on the spiritual side, I was really still kind of looking on the outside. And then really what I needed to do was focus on healing from the inside, from the spiritual side. And when I say that, I mean letting go of my fear of Parkinson's and letting go of negative thoughts about what might happen in the future, and letting go of those types of fears, very liberating in fighting this disease, because fear is the great facilitator, I think. It really plays into making one physically and mentally not balanced in fighting the disease. And so the meditations and the affirmations were very, very important. And I feel that what happens is that they help reduce adrenaline and open up the doors for dopamine. And I really think that is an important relationship, and Dr. Walton Hadlock talks about it in her literature, and I feel that it makes very, very good sense as relates to Parkinson's. And that is that, when one is in adrenaline mode, I guess best example is you're walking along and the lion jumps out of the bushes and you start running. Well, you're in adrenaline mode. Your adrenaline kicks in and you take off. But when your adrenaline kicks in and you take off, your adrenaline is telling the other parts of your body, I don't want to have to stop for a restroom break. I'm trying to survive here. And I don't want to have to stop and eat or drink because I'm trying to survive here. And so I feel that being in a fast-paced life and dealing with issues in life, that adrenaline, when one gets used to being in adrenaline mode, that it really takes over in a way, and it upsets the balance of the body. And that by doing these meditations and doing these affirmations and getting rid of the fear and calming myself and getting rid of the anger and things of that nature, that what it did was it allowed my adrenaline mode to back off, and it allowed the dopamine to flow. And I know that this is a theory that many listeners just rolled their eyes about, but I can tell you sincerely that that was what I experienced, and that I did meditate very, very much on those issues, and I focused on, I actually had a conversation with my adrenaline, and told my adrenaline that for years I needed to be in adrenaline mode just for surviving in life. But all of those stressors of life that had existed in those years were no longer in existence. So it was okay for my adrenaline to back off a little bit. And then I would have a conversation with my dopamine, and I would tell my dopamine, I know during all of those years that adrenaline was in charge, you had to shut off, turn the faucet off, not flow. Just like my organs weren't functioning properly, my liver wasn't functioning properly, my large intestine wasn't functioning properly. These are all things I learned with Parkinson's disease. And so I would have that conversation and tell dopamine, it's you did need to get out of the way, but I need you now. The only thing is, I don't know how much of my adrenaline should be flowing. I mean, how much of my adrenaline should be backing off. Excuse me, and how much of my dopamine should be flowing, what is the proper mix? And so I would tell them, I need the two of you to work on this with the higher power, and I'm going to go meditate on something else so that I don't get in the way of the conversation, but I need to get my body back in the proper flows so that I can get back to being a regular person again and I can recover from this disease. And ultimately, I did.
Pretty clearly, that meeting had a very good outcome.
Yes. And it wasn't just one meeting. It's something that I did. But I will tell you, once I started doing those meditations, I would say that I saw very, very little results for probably 8.5 months. And I started doing those meditations every day, and then the forceless spontaneous release, Yin Tui Na, that I mentioned, my wife did for me the footholding for about a half an hour for a week. And I can tell you that within the first few days of that, after 8.5 months of seeing very little results, I started to see results, and they started to happen fast. And within the next 2 weeks, I was completely symptom-free. And that's one of the things about holistic healing, where I talk about how it's from deep, deep within, is that you're doing healing in areas where you're not aware. I mean, how do you know if your organs are healing? I mean, you can't see it. You really kind of don't feel it. How do you know if your liver is being cleansed? Those aren't things that you can touch or see or even feel. That's where the faith comes in. You have to believe in the process. You have to believe that it is going to happen, because if you truly, sincerely believe in the process, then, and this is where the soul, mind, body comes in, when you have faith and you really believe in the process, then your mind doesn't have to worry that it won't work. Your mind will follow, because if you truly believe you will be successful at some day in the future, then your mind has no need to worry about anything about bad consequences. And your body, you're working hard with your body, and your body responds as well. And so that's why I really feel Dr. Shaw hits the nail on the head when he talks about healing the soul and the mind and body will follow. And I will tell you, even in that example I gave you about breaking your arm and going to the doctor, if you think about it, when the doctor says, Robert, your arm is going to be good as new, I'm just going to set it and put it in this cast, and then when you come back in X amount of time, I'll take off the cast and you'll be good as new. If you think about it, you have faith in the doctor and you have faith in the process. So the entire time that your arm is in that cast, you don't worry that it isn't going to get better. And what does your body do? Heals itself. It gets better. So even in that simple example, not that we ever stop and think, gee, how did this process really work? But along the way of fighting with Parkinson's disease, I did stop and think about all of these things. And I really think that that holds true even in that simple example of your arm healing itself because you believe in the process. So you don't grieve over it, and I can't imagine that there's very many, children who fell and broke their arm and the doctor put it in the cast and said this will be good as new, that fretted about it one moment after that. They're back in the playground, they're back outside running around playing, they're not really concerned about it because they have faith in the process, they don't worry about it, they get better. And I feel that you can do the same thing with Parkinson's. It's not as easy, but it can have great results. And obviously, can I promise that anybody who does what I did will recover? Of course not. But I can tell you, this is what I've done, this is what I did, and I've been sharing the information for almost a year now, and I feel that doing these things, I can't see where it would have bad results for anybody, and I really feel very strongly that, everybody has to get on their own path, but I feel that the path that I did, and I notated it very carefully, is something that is repeatable by others and that others have a very substantial chance of recovering. I feel very strongly about that.
At the outset of your diagnosis, you elected not to take medications. Do you think that holistic healing can help people who are taking medications?
That is a very good question, and I appreciate it, Robert, because actually, I do, and that is that, first of all, I feel that everybody who wants to work toward it and who believes in themselves and believes that their body can heal them should have the opportunity to recover. So I don't think that the set of people who are taking Parkinson's medications, which is the greater majority of people who are diagnosed with Parkinson's, should be negated from the ability to recover. So I think in a grand scheme of life, that to me would seem to lack in fairness. I feel that the exercises, I don't think if somebody is taking medications, and of course before doing anything other than what they've already discussed with their doctor and taking medications, I wouldn't recommend they do anything without talking to their doctor first, but it would be hard for me to imagine that certain lifestyle changes such as adding in some exercises, doing some chanting and meditations, and adjusting their dietary strategy would be harmful to somebody. However, in light of the fact that the person and their doctor are the best judges of what is going on in their system and based upon the medications that they're taking, I think it would also be really important for them to go over anything with their doctor, as it would for anybody, but in particular, people who are taking medications. I can tell you that I've gotten an occasional email from people who are taking medications that say, you know, they saw my blog or they watched one of the videos that's on there, and I can tell you that at least from the issue of feeling a little less rigidity, feeling a little bit more balanced or a little bit lighter, that I've had a few people who have told me, and obviously I don't know who they are, and you know, except for getting an email, but basically they say I've had Parkinson's for X amount of years and I've been taking medications the entire time, but I started doing some of these exercises and I feel pretty good compared to how I was feeling. I feel a little bit lighter, or I feel less pain, or I feel that my balance is better. So based upon that, I'm at least can tell you that a few people have expressed that they have gotten some symptom relief, even though they are taking medications. So that, I guess that's my long answer to the short question. And, you know, as people are healing, you know, you just don't know. Maybe the doing the exercises, especially the ones for the liver that help cleanse the liver, maybe there's the potential that by tonifying and cleansing the liver that the medications might work better. I don't know if they're working better or more powerful because the liver is being cleansed, then maybe the dosages could be reduced. I don't know. I mean, I don't know those answers. Those would be individual things that people would have to discuss with their doctors, but I would have a hard time seeing, you know, harm in doing some exercises and chanting, but every individual is different, and the disease affects everybody differently, and so I would highly recommend that before anybody just jump in with both feet, that they have a conversation with their doctor about it. I think that that's a really important thing. Because the doctor is a critical piece of the formula.
What is the address of your blog?
It's kind of a long one. So it is fightingparkinsonsdrugfree.blogspot.com. And the Fighting Parkinson's Drug Free is just, you know, straight across, no apostrophe. Just fightingparkinsonsdrugfree.blogspot.com.
So citing is spelled S-I-T-I-N-G?
Excuse me,
The www dot and then spell citing.
Oh, excuse me, fighting. F.
F-I-T-I-N-G. Oh, F, fighting. Yeah.
Fighting.
I heard citing. Fighting Parkinson's.
Fighting Parkinson's Drug Free.
blogspot.com. And then how do people get in touch with you if they'd like to follow up and ask questions?
Oh, sure. My email is H, S as in Sam, H, I, F as in Frank, K, E, at gmail.com. And on the blog, if they go to the blog, there's a little thing on the right-hand side that says view my complete profile, and under my picture there's a thing that says contact email, and if you click on that, it'll bring up the email address as well.
We have just a minute left, Howard, and some of the people listening are just diagnosed with Parkinson's or think that they probably are going to get a diagnosis. What do you want to say to them right now?
Don't view it as a death sentence. There are other ways to approach the disease than the conventional methods, and don't give up hope, don't give up faith, and don't be afraid to share it with at least one other person with whom you are close, because I do not believe it is a disease that you should or can fight by yourself. However, I sincerely believe it is a disease that you can fight and you can win. You have the power to heal yourself.
Howard Schiftke, thank you so much for being a guest on the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show today.
Robert, it has been a great pleasure and a great honor to be here. I've read many articles you've written and been to your websites, and all of us are appreciative of the work that you do, and I am very happy to have had the opportunity to share my story today.
Many people will be truly inspired, Howard, by your experience.
Thank you.
I have an exciting update for everyone. It's my understanding that Howard Schiftke has decided to provide coaching services to individuals who currently experience the symptoms of Parkinson's. Everyone needs support, and what better support to get than from a coach who himself has experienced all the symptoms of Parkinson's and who has been able to figure out ways to actually heal all of those symptoms and fully recover. Contact Howard if you are interested in being able to get that type of support through ongoing coaching. You can't do better than being able to work with Howard Schiftke in my book. And also, be sure to check out the second edition of my book, Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease, which you can get information about by visiting www.parkinsonsdisease.me. And that's what's happening on the shores of the Puget Sound, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact you are listening to this radio show, that you are indeed on the road to recovery. Have a magnificent week. Good day.